Ah, B. I got some gripes here.
What?
So, you know, I have a nice little bit of island lake property.
Yeah,
here.
Stabbed in the face island.
Yeah, stabbed in the face island. By the way, rumors are true. I've been stabbed in the face a couple times at this point.
Are you okay? Do I need to call somebody?
Normally it's through the cheek. It's been through the cheek. I've been able to be like squirrely enough to dodge right when the killer slash ghost haven't still trying to unravel that mystery. He gave me this puzzle box. And I'm trying to unlock. Anyway, that's not important.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not important. So that's not your gripe?
That's not my gripe. Anyway, yeah, I'll deal with the puzzle box later. Yeah. So Elon Musk.
Don't say his name.
He's not Voldemort.
No. After what he did to homegrown hotels, I cannot forgive.
Well, you know, he's buying the lake that my little villa is on.
What?
Yeah. So I've been trying to think of what I should do because he can't operate what he wants to operate out of this just yet until he gives me a better
offer.
What does
he want to operate?
Well, he wants to use my island for a base of operations, but I want a better offer. He's like going to try to give me like $5,000 because he says there's been too many face stabbings or something on this island.
Okay, you did get this thing for $1.
I did get it for $1, but I mean, I've put a lot of investment into this. I've got a sauna that I've like carved a whole van and made, and then I've like got three trailers and I've connected
also,
them.
Also, could he not afford more?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing.
You know
like,
what?
He should be
I'm
able
on
to
board with you. Hold out.
Yeah, and you know, anyway, what's really interesting is that what he's going to be using in the lake for is going to test Neuralink on sturgeons. Hello. Hello! And welcome to Homegrown Horror! I kind of sounded like a wrestler at the end.
That's the vibe.
Ooh.
Gotta take you down!
I'm taking you down to Homegrown Horror!
I am B the Magnificent, a co-host.
And I am Jackson, the other host.
Oh, he doesn't get a fun name.
I get a fun voice.
Oh my god. And we are here to tell you stories.
B the Magnificent sounds more like a magician.
We're here to tell you stories about Maine true crime.
Could you imagine a wrestler magician? He's coming off the top rope and he sawed him in half!
Oh, we thought that he landed a blow, but he turned into a dove!
Oh shit, he's pulling a rabbit out of his hat! He's bludgeoning him with the rabbit!
Let me try this again. We tell you stories about Maine true crime, cryptids, horror, hauntings, ghosts, and today,
capitalism.
The scariest thing there is. And then we also just recorded our episode about Damnation Land 13.
Fun old time, and we'll mention it in the episode, but go ahead and check it out. There's plenty of screenings happening for the rest of the month by the time this episode's out. So if you got the time and you got $10, go make a trip to wherever their screenings are happening.
Mm-hmm. So, other than that, how was your week?
Ask me questions as I take a sip. How rude!
So sorry.
It's been very busy. I had my anniversary yesterday.
Happy anniversary!
5 years. It's the wood anniversary. Mm-hmm.
Did you go?
We didn't do gifts.
You should have gone camping.
Should have gone
That's
camping.
That's what we did.
Should have gone camping. Too busy
out
to go
in
camping.
In the woods.
Out in the woods. Should have gone camping. We kind of just hung out, you know?
Could have carved her a spoon.
We did a gardening.
Oh, okay.
Something we did.
So you did
We did
okay.
do something fun. went to our church and weeded, and we planted some stuff.
Sowing your seeds on your fifth anniversary.
Sowing my seeds. I'm spreading the seeds all over the back of the church. Sorry, Jacob.
I did that. I initiated.
You teed
that.
Me up.
I did.
How dare you?
Sorry, Jacob.
It's too easy. I'm sorry. I have a compulsion. We planted some perennials. We planted a holly bush. Both will do. The perennials will, of course, they'll keep coming back. But the holly bush should be good to go through the winter.
Oh, nice.
It'll be a little easier to maintain. So, fun stuff. Fun times. Yeah. Did some gardening. Did that for a while, actually. Got pretty tired, so we just hung out, and we had Chinese food, watched movies. We were watching Full Metal Panic.
Yep. I know you said that you were trying to find it.
Yeah, and we were trying to find the second season. We finally found it, because put Crunchyroll back up. So we got that, and then we also watched the first episode of Link Click. Which I like it. I think it's interesting. But Emily really wanted to watch Full Metal Panic, so I did that.
That's okay. At least you got one episode in there. I hope you continue, because I just finished season two.
Ooh.
I love Link Click so much. It is so good. My wife and I have been watching Drag Race. We are watching the seasons backwards, which means RuPaul. RuPaul's Drag Race. So that means that we're watching it backwards, so that means that when we watch the finale of one season, we know who wins the season we're about to watch.
Right.
Because
it's ruined for you.
Yeah. It's a...
Why don't you just reverse the order, then?
I don't know. I like the way we're doing it.
Why do you like the way you're doing it? That it's just spoiled for you immediately? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Maybe we'll do that with the next one. But it's just like, I don't know.
Have a little mystery, man. Just a bit.
Just a little bit of mystery. And then I started playing Animal Crossing again. I'm decorating my island for Halloween. I'm very excited.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a nice way to just...
You like the spook vibes?
I do.
I think it's a fun time to jump on Animal Crossing also. Wow. Summer's kind of boring, honestly.
Yeah. Because I've been trying to finish, like, my Critterpedia, but other than that, yeah. And then yesterday, Allegra and I went for a walk at Bug Light, and I let my inner child take control, and we rolled down a hill.
You're like, I want to roll down
this hill. Yeah, I got the compulsion. I'm like, this is not a bad compulsion.
No.
So let's do it. So we rolled down the hill, and it was, like, very nice. And then we just sort of, like, laid staring at the sky for a little bit. Very romantic, pretty cute. But definitely, like, one of those things where it's like when things feel like they're out of control and you live in a hellscape sometimes. Gross. That is the world. There's a lot going on. So it was just really nice to have that moment of joy and hold on to just being in the moment.
Yep.
Super, super nice. So capitalism?
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of hellscapes, we're going to be talking a little bit about a story that you might not have gotten any information of. This, I think, made the rounds recently on the TikToks.
Mm-hmm, it did.
As a story that people were just learning about.
Because if you are in Maine, you know that there's some stuff going on.
Yeah.
And so this kind of got dredged up with some of the CMP.
Just kind of like piling onto like was CMP. Because I think one of the things people have mentioned or before is that, oh, CMP's always been looking out for Mainers. And there's a case where that's not necessarily true here.
Which, for those of you who don't know, CMP is Central Maine Power.
Yeah. So it's our local power company. If you've lived in Maine, you're familiar with it. It is basically the only power company in Maine. And that is due to them having consolidated their growth over many, many years since the 1800s. To basically own all of the power output in this state. It was locally owned for a while, and this is pertinent just to today, but it was locally owned for a while and then bought up by a separate company that is not based in the United States. It's based in Spain, I believe.
I think so. That sounds right.
Or the owner's from Spain, I don't know. But basically...
From Europe.
Yeah, from Europe. And, you know, capitalism gonna capitalism, and... rates keep going up. People aren't very happy with the service that they receive, especially if they're out in the boondocks. And right now, the people of Maine are trying to vote whether or not to basically create the power company to become independent, run by an elected board. We'll see if it happens. We're not sure. I think it might be pretty close, honestly.
Yeah.
But during the conversation of CMP and people pointing out why CMP might not be good for Mainers at this time, people have been pointing out to this story that happened back in, well, I guess the story of it started as early as the late 1800s, but the moment of this occurring happened in 1950 or 1948. So if you're from Maine and you're traveling up Route 27.
Route 27?
I say route. Okay, this is a thing. This is a dialect thing.
Is it?
Yeah. People out here say route. You can say route. I don't know. Everyone's telling me I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. If you're traveling up Route 27.
He's struggling.
It's like a dog.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, I said in the like in the bonus, you cosplay a Mainer. And this is one of those moments where it really shines through. You struggle with root.
I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I'm not cosplaying anything. I look like I dress myself and I look like I'm 12. Traveling up Route 27. You're going up to Eustis. You'll be traveling past the fourth largest lake in the state of Maine, known as Flagstaff Lake. Believe it or not, you might not be familiar with it, but there's a couple towns at the bottom of it, or were.
This is also going, because this was on a couple, like, listicles, where they're like, Maine's ghost town, and I honestly, like, glanced over it, because the ones that I found didn't have a lot of information.
Yeah, no, like...
But then Allegra found a TikTok about this place, and I was like, well, fuck me backwards.
I was able to get a lot of information, actually, which is pretty funny.
Buckling up.
A good bit. We'll be talking about some interesting stuff here. Well, what I found interesting is, like, why did this even have to occur? A couple little towns, though, at the bottom of this lake. There used to be a very active farming community within the valley, as it was. Three different towns. Those were Flagstaff, Bigelow, and Dead River Plantations. They're pretty small, dotted with a lot of different farms throughout the basin here.
Do you need glasses?
Maybe. So
make your text bigger, old man.
No. It was very heavily involved with the logging industry and agriculture.
Yeah.
And since it's been operating that way since the early 1800s. The community of Flagstaff, probably the largest community there, I suppose, or the one that gets the most press here, got its name from this area, as it was believed to be the resting point for Benedict Arnold's army as they're traveling up to go attack the city of Quebec.
Quebec.
Benedict Arnold supposedly built a flagstaff pole and raised the flag of the U.S. right on that spot.
Interesting.
Yeah. Quaint little communities. They got schoolhouses, churches, cemeteries, lots of single family homes, lots of land everywhere. but, you know, big industry pipsqueaks had other concerns, like how to modernize the local electric grid. How to really take advantage of all this splendor and beautiful rivers. See, at the time, there were many little rivers, and there were a lot of little local companies, mostly hydropower.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these little companies would just, like, produce power for manufacturing, and then in off-peak hours, they might, you know, give that electricity to residents. So even though they were present, kind of pockmarked throughout Maine, they weren't producing too much, I suppose.
Their output was not very high.
Not very high, you know, and they're all disjointed.
Gotcha.
But enter our capitalist heroes, Walter Wyman and Harvey Eaton, the founders of CMP. They were not very happy with the situation. So they said they needed more power. They needed to consolidate that. So what did they start doing? They bought up a lot of the power companies, all these little companies all over the area, and then forming them under the CMP banner. Got a little face.
Capital is going to capital.
They go to capital. They started doing this around 1899 with the purchase of the Oakland Electric Light Company. Wyman wanted to build a dam in the vicinity around the forks where Dead River and Kennebec River met. He was going to be building out a couple of dams in this area. But basically, he wanted as much output and like controlled flow into the Kennebec River as possible. Because over there, around 1931, was where he built the Wyman Dam. And he did complete another dam a little after the events we're going to be talking about here. But what we needed, though, was that he determined he needed a large enough basin to control the flow of water into this one dam that was further down the Kennebec River.
And the farmhouse sink is not going to count.
It's not going to count.
I need more.
More. Well, that was actually an interesting part about this. So one of the biggest things that was foiling Wyman here was a little law called the Fernald Law, which prohibited the sale of electricity generated in Maine to out-of-state consumers. A big thing that CMP wanted to do at that time was to focus more on regional output than, say, local to the state of Maine.
Interesting. Meaning
they wanted to do a lot of power production towards Boston. Does this sound familiar at all?
Can't say it does, Jackson. I've never heard of this before.
Basically, CMP's tried to build a corridor that would reach through the northern Maine woods down towards Massachusetts, basically to create an easier pipeline for electricity down to Massachusetts. It's also specifically related to connecting to renewables, I believe, offshore wind opportunities, I think, was what they wanted to look into. But
there was a lot going on.
There was basically a lot of power production happening in Maine that then was going to be funneled down into Massachusetts, but it wasn't ever going to come back to Maine. So a little confusing. Obviously, it must have been good for the goose, but wasn't good for the gander. So similar situation, you know, he wants to be able to produce more and then offload that more of that power towards the region. But he was finally allowed to move forward with his plans here because in 1927, they did enact a law that allowed the construction of the dams under the conditions that the dams were to be built on state land under a long-term lease that is still currently in place, and it gave CMP the right to claim for this project of building the three dams. CMP was given the right to claim privately owned land through eminent domain.
Great.
That's cool. We should totally give corporations the powers of a government.
This is going to end super well. I can feel it. Everything's going to be fine.
There must have been a hell of a lot of lobbying that happened at the state legislature to make this happen.
Oh, I fucking bet.
To even say, like, yeah, we're going to be wiping out this community, but it's for everybody, so let's keep going.
I want to put a pin in that, and we'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Because I have feelings.
We'll talk more about it. So, the construction of these dams had taken a long time. And it was actually not just CMP that was involved. It was a couple of other companies that were also in charge of clear-cutting and getting, like, this area prepped for what was eventually a big old flooding. Basically, around 1927, that was the groundwork lay area. Well, actually happened even before that, around, like, 1918. CMP was basically letting the community know that they're planning to clear this whole area so that they can go ahead and build a dam. There was a belief among the population, it seems, that the dam specifically was going to be a hydroelectric dam.
Okay.
Specifically, it was going to be a hydroelectric dam. Right now, though, the dam that's in place, Long Falls Dam, is not hydroelectric. It's just a gate for, you know, enlarging the basin and then having a more consistent flow of water. There is no hydroelectricity produced from that specific dam. Which is an important distinction.
Yes, it is.
If we want to be honest with, like, if you're going to advertise a project as one specific thing and it's not actually going to be that way, what the fuck? The community was met with a lot of representatives from CMP that had some interesting promises. One of the first things was that CMP was wanted to buy your home. So you could start as early as the 1920s, about then, to basically sell your home to CMP, and you could possibly just even live there and wait for whatever project they were going to do to occur. You could also try to petition to CMP to move your house to another area. You could have that option. And that's why you have New Flagstaff now. That was the site of where all of the homes were going to be put. A lot of homes were put. So there are a couple homes located over in New Flagstaff that are directly from the basin.
Oh.
Yeah. Fascinating. But, you know, so originally there was a lot of promises of how efficient this was going to be.
And what it was, and how and the why.
So first off, this is an agricultural community. This focused on the logging industry. So what did CMP do? They basically kind of bottle choked this community into not really being able to enjoy like the last few years there or to enjoy the property value itself. So CMP started with clear cutting. They clear cut basically all the trees that were going to be within this new lake basin. Mm-hmm. And then they also slashed and burned. The slashing and burning occurred constantly. It was a huge issue for the community. So you'd be constantly faced with smoke. Now, the problem also is that the crews that were in charge of this didn't seem to be the best trained. There were reports of out of control fires to the point where community members would need to create a perimeter to stay up and watch the fires if they got too close, basically to let people know if they need to start evacuating. So the fires were not handled in a way that was really well done.
But of course, they just didn't give a fuck, I suppose.
And I mean, you're having this constant burning and constant smoke inhalation that you're experiencing here. It's not a very pleasant time to be there. Let alone would it be a pleasant time to grow crops? Probably not. This isn't really the best conditions for crop growing. So not only have you just eliminated logging industry, you're also kind of going after people's ability to sustain themselves in the community. So then what's your choice here? What are you going to do? Okay, I'm going to try to sell my home to CMP. CMP basically did. If you came to them, they would give you an offer. But most families felt like their offer was pretty unfair.
Yeah.
I think that if you're going to go ahead and clear somebody out of their home, there's got to be some sentimental effect to that. Is that a bleeding heart response? Maybe. I don't know. I feel like it's the right thing to do, though.
Yeah, that's the...
People are always like, just to give them market value. But actually, you've already diminished the market value by, you know, this is not a home anyone's going to live in.
Yeah.
First off,
have you seen, there's a story that's been going around where there was this company that was buying up land to develop a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one family that was like, nah. So there's the suburb all around them. And then this one strip of land where this house is still.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm with that. I am here for that petty.
Yeah.
You know, being like, you know, they're like, oh, now the neighbors have to like drive around. And I'm like, well, I don't fucking care. Oh, no, I have to take the long way to work because my neighbor just wouldn't sell out. Nah, fuck that. That's my... And it's a nice house from what I can tell.
I love
that. So I'm like, nope, no, I'm on board with this guy.
This is my house.
This is my house. Fuck you.
Well, You know, CMP, you know what COP's response would be to that?
Let's make their lives harder.
Hope you like flood insurance. Hope you have flood insurance, idiot. Well, here's also the kind of shitty thing. It's like they are offering to buy their homes, but they're doing it at a reduced value. And really not, like, if we could say, will someone live in this house in the future? I feel like that's got to be your price. Otherwise, it's like, we're going to make conditions around you as shitty as possible. So it's not even like a good offer at the end of the day.
And it's like, it's your home.
Yeah. But even like homes that were bought by CMP. So I might be jumping around here. So 1927, that's when they started buying homes and, you know, started like getting more of the property, trying to buy up as much property as possible. 1948 was when they actually started actively doing more shit to clear everything out.
Yeah.
And that's when all the fires are happening. And that's when like they were starting to move actual buildings around. Well, actually, there's more fires and happening before that. Anyway, whatever.
CMP is just doing a lot of work here.
Doing a lot of work. They did do a lot of the moving around of some homes. They did move homes over to new areas if they could, but they did leave a lot of homes just lying there for a while, just dilapidated, until they started, like, you know, they taking everything out. They did build a new church with the existing bell, church windows, other artifacts. It's not what a church has.
The religious artifacts.
Pews. Those little knee benches.
Furnishings.
Furnishings. Church furnishings.
Yes,
holy furnishings.
Let's open a store. Holy furnishings.
It's just pew benches.
Yes. Did you ever want a pew bench in your home? Well, you can have one now. Sit, stand, or kneel on our hardwood pews. It's just like being at church.
Are you Lutheran? We got cushions.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Community didn't look great.
No.
Didn't look good.
No.
So 1948, that's when a lot of the moving around was occurring. They did move cemeteries. Here's a funny thing. So they said they'd be very disrespectful about moving these cemeteries.
They said they would be disrespectful? They said they would
Said they would be respectful.
You can't talk to them.
Respectable pole.
He's not drinking today either.
I'm just stone cold water.
So they said.
So
look,
they
we're moving the cemeteries. We'll be super respectful of your dead. Fingers crossed behind their backs.
So yeah. They said there would be more of a process with like exhuming bodies and transporting them in a way that made sense. But instead, they just hired a dude and got a hearse and moved bodies with just the hearse.
Like one at a time?
I feel like, yeah, like one at a time.
Or did the... Because here's the thing. Either it's one at a time or they're piling bodies in the back of a hearse, which...
You what? You could probably fit two coffins in there. If it was little coffins, then that's easier to
Tetrising
transport.
Tetrising the coffins.
Yeah, why not?
Jesus Christ. Okay.
There was one article that I saw that was kind of funny to me. Not funny. Not funny, haha, but funny. Oh, that's awful. where it was like...
Thank you for that.
The representative over at CMP said like, oh yeah, we're going to like... make sure people can't really interact with the crew because they're going to have to quarantine because you have these old coal miners diseases or whatever inside with some of these bodies. And
coal miners?
Oh, you know, like the cholera. Or,
oh, got you.
Dysentery, various varieties of that or whatever.
Gotcha.
But yeah, no, instead it was just like a dude with a hearse. And people...
I like how they're like,
okay,
this Cruise, was, asterisk, and one guy.
This was really funny. Like, one person said, it was like, yeah, they were talking about how they were going to quarantine themselves. And then this dude's like, taking breaks and like getting cake at the local store sometimes. It's like, what the fuck?
My other, like, I have.
So now the rudest of all things throughout this was that you did have a lot of holdouts. You mentioned, hey, holdouts. And yeah, you know, you're going to be a holdout. You're going to get your due. At least that's what we think. But CMP had a different idea. They decided, well, someone's shoes are going to get real soggy over here. Hope you got your wellies there. Because 1950, they did finally close the gate of the new Long Falls Dam. And then the river and the basin started slowly filling with water.
And there are still people there?
Yeah. And people were left with the impression that CMP was going to come by and finally give an offer. Lawyers did even come by and tell people, you should wait out because they'll give you a really good offer on the property. People still owned these homes, still owned the property. And CMP just fucking closed the dam and started filling up the basin. Their offers are on a the other homes weren't good. Like, they weren't, like, giving... People felt like they weren't being treated fairly for the price. And for 2 years, or more years than this, CMP was making the environment worse. You know, killing the industries. And, like, just making life pretty fucking shitty.
Okay, I'm gonna take my pin out here, and I want to talk about this here. Because when I initially, like, and I had asked you about it, because when I was looking at stuff, there are so many articles that just breeze over this shit.
Yeah.
And there, because I saw some articles that were like, oh, it was abandoned. People abandoned this place. Or there was also, oh, yeah, CMP, like, people weren't unhappy about it. You know, they begrudgingly moved, but, you know, it was fine because CMP paid and blah, blah, blah. And there are so many articles that are just like, but it was fine. It's okay. And then you had said, like, for the better, the good of the people, and, you know, this whole is a bleeding heart response. I think it's just an asshole move where it's like, okay, we're sacrificing the livelihoods, because I don't think anybody died, but like, no. The livelihoods, the places that people live for the good of everyone, quote unquote, is in fucking sane. And just the amount of apologizing in a lot of these articles drove me up a fucking wall.
It was very weird researching this, and I agree. Going through a lot of these articles, it was very apologetic on the behalf of CMP. Not really apologetic, but more like, oh, this fine. Is fine. Yeah, this is fine. There was, it was hard to find. There were some folks that did call it out and been like, they're kind of being dicks. But
I feel like
for the most part, there was a lot of folks that were saying like, oh, they were treated fair. They were given a good price in their home. Oh, they just wanted more money. It's like, yeah, they wanted more money. It's like,
it's their home.
It's their home. They don't want to leave.
Okay. Also, like, look at the housing market right now. Of course people want more money. The cost of living is going up. If you want to buy a house, you have to sell your house at a high rate in order to recoup the money to buy a new house.
Yeah.
Like, duh. Fucking duh.
The market's crazy.
But that's the thing. Is like, this is your home. And I feel like a lot of these articles that are just like not discussing the fact that there were people still there when they're just like, open the floodgate. I think you said slowly filling up. How slowly do you think? Like, is this like, you know, a foot a day? Is this like,
I don't have that information.
It's all happened in a day. Like, how quickly are people able to move?
I think it's pretty much to the point of like, I think it's, you know, I don't know.
I feel like in a country that places such a high value on home ownership as part of the American dream and like success and things like that, I think it's really hypocritical to be like, well, these people got what they did. The people that stayed got what they deserved. They were just being greedy.
It's insane. It is funny how the narrative for a lot of people kind of like subscribe to this weird propaganda that it's bad for the worker to ask for more, but it's totally fine for companies to demand more from their employees. It's like, no, you got to compensate for that, man.
Allegra just was watching a TikTok of this person that was interviewing at this company, and she was very excited because they had a 4-day work week.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, cool, because normally 4-day work week is you're either working your 8 hours, 4 days, so 32 hours, or you're fitting your 40 into 4, so that's 10-hour days.
4-10.
Either way, that's fine. And then when she got to the final interview, they're like, no, we expect you to work 50 to 60 hours in those 4 days.
What the fuck?
And then she's like, then don't even fucking advertise that as a benefit.
That's insane. Yeah. That's insane. So you
That's
want me
insane.
To just stay up? What?
That's absolutely insane.
It's and like, you got to be like 12, 16 hour days. Okay.
Exactly. So that's the thing is it's like, but then it's just sort of like you shit on people for, well, like, well, you asked for that. So what did you expect? They need you to put in those hours. So like, yeah, you're going to have to like make up for it somewhere. And I'm
can I also just say, if we're talking about time, I want to complain about one specific thing with time. It's always been 9 to 5.
Yeah.
9 to 5, paid lunch. That's what
now
existed.
It's 9 to 5.
No, now it's 8 to 5, unpaid lunch.
Yeah.
It was 9 to 5 paid lunch. What? There's a song called 9 to 5.
I'm working 9 to 5.
But now it's all 8 to 5. What the fuck? Yeah. And everyone's like weirdly like every, I don't know what it is, but when I first got to the workforce and people were like, oh, the schedule's 8 to 5. I've been like, what? That doesn't, no, that's not a thing.
My schedule in the two corporate jobs that I have had been 8 to 4:30.
See, that's better. You know,
with a little, you know, with there being leeway or flex scheduling.
Right. Okay.
Depending on what your job was, who you worked with, things like that.
I mean, my schedule is pretty somewhat flexible. Not super flexible, but it is flexible. And I, you know, but,
Yeah, you know, your standard corporate job can't get you a house now either, so.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway.
That's my thing is like, that's the frustrating part is I'm like, I'm really happy about the new narrative that's coming out about this.
Yeah, it's like, well, I think the frustrating thing as well is that there is a bit of lying up front.
Absolutely.
To say like we're building a hydroelectric dam.
But it's
just a holding basin. Just to make sure that the one river has a more constant flow to it. Which is like, could you have picked a different spot? Could you have done something where you didn't have to destroy a community?
Right. And you could say like, oh, well, if like there's not that many people, there's no blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but it's an agricultural community. And also, are you just saying like all small towns are up for grabs by corporations?
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
What is that? What the fuck, man?
Yeah, no, you got to have reasonable alternatives that shouldn't have to uproot your communities.
And again, when we place such a high value on your success being land ownership and home ownership, like, that is so bass-ackwards to me, where it's like, okay, yeah, you know, you've made it, you own a home, you own land, but it's still up for grabs by corporations because that's more important. What? I am being sold a bad bill of goods on all fronts.
Yeah, it's a scam.
Okay, so
what was actually kind of funny, though, is the town did have a little party right before the end times.
It's the end of the
world. Yeah, they had like a...
we know it.
They allocated like $1,000 for a day of celebration, a day of remembrance for the community. And like 300 people showed up for it. Oh. They had a cute little interaction. It was adorable.
What would you have done?
Me?
Yeah. Not knowing everything that you know, If someone just came to you and was like, hey, this is what we're doing, with the information that CMP gave them, would you have sold or would you have waited for a better offer?
That's hard to say, because if I was approached by a lawyer that I would assume had a better understanding of these things and said you should hold out, there is a possibility I would just hold out for a better offer.
You think those lawyers felt terrible?
No.
Were they CMP's lawyers?
No.
Wait, and now their house is underwater.
No, it was like, it was their own representation.
Okay.
So their own independent representation was saying you should hold out. I wanted to close off this little depressing story with a poem, because I love those.
I love poems. When we have poems.
This is by Gaylon Jeep. Well, wait, no.
Jeep? Beep, beep, I'm a Jeep.
Beep, beep, I'm a Jeep. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Jeep. Beep, beep, I'm a Jeep.
Gaylon Jeep.
What?
You said Gaylon?
Gaylon.
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 Gaylon Jeep.
Gaylon Jeep Wilcox. It's his full name. Don't laugh at his name.
I feel like all of his names just sound super gay.
Gaylon Wilcox wrote a poem in 1954. While on guard duty as he was serving the U.S. Army. The reason that he wrote it was because as a teenage boy, he worked on the project of clearing land to make Flagstaff Lake. At the time, he recalled how he was thinking of how unfortunate it was to uproot this entire family and this community for something that was kind of meaningless, it seems. But this is his poem. Called Man-Made Lake. I'll never forget the day they took my home away to make a lake that God did not plan. Though it has been many years, I still recall the tears shed when they made Flagstaff Dam. My only choice made me sad, either move or wish I had. Did you hear my stomach growl?
No.
Okay, good. No way could I stop their flood, snowing nothing I could do. Using a token dollar or two. They took what cost me sweat and blood. Maybe I do need glasses. From Eustace Ridge I see man's lake of misery, where once I tilled the fertile sod. 'Twas there I made... Jesus Christ. I just put B's glasses on. You can't see anything.
Yes.
You're so blind.
Yes, you're correct. And these are not actually the correct prescription. I still can't see with these.
Oh my God. From Eustace Ridge I see man's lake of misery, where once I tilled the fertile sod, 'twas there I made my stand, trying to convince my fellow man to leave the lake building up to God. Yes, my life still goes on, but for me dreams are gone, haunted with nightmares from days gone by. Like a vagabond I still roam, for the day they took away my home was the day my dreams began to die. Someday I'll pass on, and from this land I'll be gone. Inside of heaven's gate I'll stand. Once again, I'll shed a tear for all those still here with roots in forgotten land.
Oh.
It was okay.
It was fine. It sounded, but the end got me.
Sad and had. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Definitely sounds like the poems I wrote in like the sixth grade.
100%. Anyway. He was in the army. He clearly wasn't that smart. Mm. I'm just kidding.
No, the end got me there.
It's Marines that are dumb. They eat crayons.
The Marines eat crayons?
You didn't know that meme? No. You look it up later.
Oh, I'm really happy that we finally covered this.
Me too. It was kind of hard to find some decent information. Narratives were weird, but yeah. Definitely worth talking about. It's and I didn't know about it. It was an interesting bit of history.
I think it's also interesting, like, just the fact that I guess this is legal. Was?
I mean, they give the power of eminent domain to CMP, but they didn't ever use eminent domain. They purchased property and were trying it that route. But I don't know. I don't know what else you would call. I mean, technically, flooding the fucking rest of the houses isn't eminent domain.
No.
But. I don't know what you would call it.
That would be not like if people still own that and like you're making the conscious decision to do that. Like, is it not illegal if you're like, well, I gave them warning? Like, what's the loophole there? You flooded their fucking house.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is there not some liability there? It's fucking weird.
It is weird, man. It is. And,
I need a lawyer to. Tell me what to do.
Well, you know what? Yeah, we do need a lawyer. We have a lawyer.
His name's Perry Mason.
And, you know, it's nice to be able to do this podcast with... You definitely heard that one.
Heard that one. Jackson's hungy.
I'm very hungy. Ooh. It's nice to be able to do this pod, you know, with our friends. Or should I say, our next mainism.
Hey, hey, it's a mainism.
I went to a store the other day.
Okay.
And I had a very interesting experience with the individual that was behind the counter. First off, he let me know I was in the wrong store. I was supposed to go to a different store that was near him. But he understood why I was there. But the first thing he said to me was, "How you doing, bub?" And that's our mainism. It's bub. It's a word. Just bub. Called me bub.
I'm just like staring at Jackson, being like, where the fuck is this going? So do you have the history of the word bub? Do you have any of that? Or are you just saying like, no. I just wanted to tell this story about me going to the wrong store.
Bub main slang. Nickname for anyone.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess it's not the term friend.
No. Yeah. I think it does usually have like an endearment.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting because I do think I've heard bub in a negative context elsewhere. But in Maine, it is just sort of like neutral to good.
Sure is bub.
Sure is bub.
Yeah, it's sort of a, it's not a, bub does sound like a very condescending term from an outsider's perspective.
Excuse me, bub.
Yeah.
But do you know who you're dealing with?
Move over, bub.
Yeah.
One thing that I realize I say, though, that's similar to that is I call people buddy.
Yeah.
And I've had people say, I feel offended when you call me buddy.
Oh, really? But yeah. No, we use that, like, or at least in our friend group. I don't know if that is a main thing, but, like, I know Anna, I think, started it. So then like, term of endearment. We're like, you good buddy?
You good buddy? Hey, buddy. But I also sound sarcastic all the time.
He's my buddy, my pal.
I think that's my problem is my tone.
Yeah, probably.
I have, like, constant sarcasm voice.
You kind of do.
I don't mean it for that. That's just my voice.
That's just how
it's just how I talk. I sound like an asshole. I'm sorry. I got called by I got called a bub, and it was it took me off guard.
How you doing, bub?
And then he just came at me with the thickest Maine accent I've heard yet. It was an interesting character.
How's it going?
Yeah, and yes, he did very politely let me know that I was in the wrong store.
What were you looking for?
I was trying to go to a plaque engraver. It was a thing for work.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you went to the headstone engraver instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No. Was, two doors down, wrong type of engraver.
He was in the middle of
chiseling.
You know, chiseling, crushing a bag of chips. Hey, bub.
Oh my goodness.
That's it. It's just bub.
It's just bub.
It's just bub. We have to words sometimes.
Jackson's been waiting to tell everybody this story.
This is, yeah, It's a very interesting, fun story. If you want to hear more interesting and fun stories like this, you can keep listening to our podcast. And also, if you want to ask us some questions, you can hit us up at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or our Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod. You can go ahead and ask us questions over in the little Spotify forum thing that's at the bottom of this.
It's a Q&A.
It's a Q&A. You can ask questions there. We'll answer them live on the pod. Is this live? It's not. Why do people say live for podcasts? That's not honest. That's not a thing. Well, say it on the podcast. Dishonest. It's dishonest.
You can also leave us some stars and review on Apple Podcasts. Most of all, we're happy that you're here. But I did want a newsflash. You may remember if you've been here
for a year.
Yeah. You may remember. Last year, we took a break after Halloween from November 1st to the end of the year, and then we come back the first week of January. We will be doing that again. So we have two more episodes because the bonus will be coming out, and then also I have a story to tell.
And
then we'll be
that'll close us out for the year. We'll still have bonus episodes. Mm-hmm.
Bonus episodes will still be coming at you regularly.
They'll probably be goofier though, because it's November and December.
I need to see if we have any more Christmas.
Ooh, shit, that was really hard to find. That's why we did Home Alone.
We did Home Alone.
Our cup might have run dry here.
Where does Krampus take place? Email me that. Can I rationalize that Krampus takes place in Maine?
I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
No. Fuck. Well, thank you all for being here and for listening to this tale of woe. We will see you next time. Bye.